The verse we're camping out on is Romans 3:28. Written on the board in the original text, the Greek, if you can decipher it among all these scribblies, logis, zomitha, a word that incorporates logos, but beyond that, the ancient root leg, log, which is to choose. Before it separated into two streams, it was to choose and choose with words, by spoken words, out from among what is not chosen. It spread through the Greek language and a stream of words using the root log became word. And that word was chosen by John under the inspiration of the Spirit to identify the revealing one of the Godhead. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was facing the God, and the Logos was God of the same essence. And the Logos was made flesh, dwelt among us. Though no man has seen God, he led him forth, exegesis, from behind the curtain of the unknown and put him on display. The other root, both of which were combined, became the basis of words to choose. But contained in the word is to choose with words. Paul's used words for three chapters. And he now concludes in the handout we gave you. We consider. But that is sort of tentative. The reality of the word is we are driven to a conclusion now by the word and are forced within ourselves to make a choice. And that choice is that a man is made righteous by pistis, faith, without chores, chasms apart from, ergo nomu. You can read a dozen modern translations and they try to change that to a principle. Apart from the principle of the law and a new principle of faith. No. There's only one subject Paul is facing. The heritage that he came out of. Where everyone thought you made it by keeping the Torah, divine law, not just any law. Not a principle we can deduce, but subjecting oneself to the reality that God is, that He's personal, that He speaks words, and that those words provide a covenant relationship, and righteousness is the keeping of covenant, and there was an old covenant, and under that covenant, do this and don't do that. Got you in. But now, as Paul said in an earlier verse, but now the same God has spoken another Torah, another word, another divine covenant, based not upon our works of perfection, but upon faith. His own faith in His Son, His Son's faithfulness in keeping His covenant, and the faith of Jesus which obtained our salvation unto all the ones that are faithing in Him. There is no question but what eliminated is the Torah of works. I found an ancient Hebrew translation of the New Testament Greek, the significance of it being, for thus their word is, we are captured. Captured with the reality, the truth, that we are made righteous by the amen, faith, and not by works, by faila, works, of the Torah, ha Torah. No question but what Paul is talking about the Torah. The Hebrew translation translates the word nomu, Torah. The importance of the Arabic is just to have further proof. I love to den things in. I will never be accused of underkilling. Because Banana, Nest, Tisharu, because the people don't have any idea. The people Al-Nessin, the people because, or for, now, we, and this word, sharah, you go to the dictionary, there must be a paragraph that long in the Arabic dictionary, particularly the classic. Very close to the Greek gnosis, but not quite. It is to know, to conclude, but it is to know intuitively, is to be convinced and unalterably positioned, contained within its root letters, net to sharu, nest to sharu, contained in its root letters, same as the Hebrew, is to be captured. Captured, also in the Hebrew, completeness, the number 7. All trying to get at this word, logizometha, which Paul used, which is by words, to be driven to a present position, middle voice, close to reflexive, we are convinced ourselves, participating in the convincing process by the exposure to the words that drive us to a choice. In the Arabic, we are convinced, to be an easy way to translate it, but it has all that other meaning of being driven to an intuitive knowledge that grips us with a root letters in the etymology of being captured, that the people, catch this word, Netizadok, Netizaka, from the root Zadaka, Netizadok, Netizaka, the D is silently dropped out, Netizakai. You know what that word is based on, surely by now. Recognize this word from the Hebrew, Sedek, which means keeping covenant. The only righteousness that counts in the Bible is a relationship between persons. You can't have some abstract, impersonal God involved in biblical Christianity. You can't have an immutable, inactive, non-participatory, non-talk to you through his word. In the olden days, he'd talk through bushes, fire, earthquakes, prophets, and angels. I had one of my Jewish attorneys asked me recently, why doesn't God talk to you today the way he did the Old Testament people? And I answered simply, because in Hebrews 1 in the New Testament, he says he won't. He won't do it anymore. In times past, he spoke in these diverse ways, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the Logos that was facing God, who could tell us all the words we need to know, who turned from God and struck a tent in human flesh, became the spoken word, stamped his authority on the Old Testament record with multiple repetitions, and gave us the leading forth of God from behind the curtain. So God has clearly said, there will only be one sign, his resurrection, stamping his authority, and he's not speaking those diverse ways now. And I got news for you. As old as Gnosticism, the first great heresy of the New Testament, based upon a desire of one-upmanship on those that had actually listened to Jesus and been with Jesus in the first century. And then as the church began to move on, there were those that felt second class because they couldn't say, Jesus talked to me. They couldn't have the personal relationship. And most of your Gnostic scriptures come out of fantastic claims of Jesus appearing to them. Everybody's got some new Gnostic revelation. It permeates modern Christianity, particularly the charismatic world, which I grew up in and am still a part of, like Paul. The experience is not to be denied because of the fools who exploit it, like the Corinthian church, who used it as a vehicle for self. I got news for you. These people run around saying, God talked to me. I heard his voice. And I know it because he often talks to me. And he said this, and I said, and God said back to me, and I said, and God said. This is his word. And God said he wasn't going to talk that way anymore. Don't let anybody lord it over you with some Gnostic claim, some, the Lord's given me a new revelation every week. Go to the drugstore and he says, don't buy that toilet paper, buy this one. And I said, okay, you know more about my bottom than I do. You created it. The test of a prophet, what he says, comes true. I believe in the gift of prophecy, but it flows out of the Spirit that's in all of us. And it is a speaking forth, an uttering forth. It doesn't have some voice coming out of the woodwork saying, say this. That's olden times. He speaks to us now through his Son, and the word that has been given drives us to a simple position. The Torah of works is gone. The Sharia, well, let's keep going on the Arabic, because I'm intuitively convinced that the people righteous become Beh Le'iman, same word, amen, by the amen, without, Kawan, mean, without any part of, aimal, works, ala sharia. You ever hear that word? Sharia. In the classic, these two dots, in the classic you'll pronounce the T, in modern Arabic you won't. Sharia. You hear the word Sharia? Try to say that in Iran. Go out on a street corner and preach. But now, man can only be righteous by faith without any part of the works, aimal, of the Sharia. Now, the purpose of the Arabic is to again show the consistency that the earliest translators understood. Nomu meant God ordained covenant law. The Sharia is now restricted in the Muslim world to the Quran and the words of Allah through the Prophet. I have two modern Arabic Bibles. Just like our modern Bibles change the law as God ordained Torah and want to substitute principle, I have a modern Arabic Bible being handed out at the airport, another modern Arabic Bible. They no longer translate this with the word Sharia. They use a common word for law or principle, and thus they avoid the controversy of hitting in the face traditional Islamic people that there is a God-ordained way without any reference to the Sharia. Paul hit the Jews of his day in the face with it. There is a new way without any connection to the Torah. Indeed, there's a new Torah, as he will say, and did say in the previous verse. There's a new Torah, faith's Torah. All God ordained. God can set aside the old covenant, and he did. He fulfilled it in Christ. He kept his word. It created a barrier to his love. For that old Torah said, for sin comes death, and hold it up like a mirror, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for God to come to us with his love, that consistency with his integrity required the penalty of death and the fulfillment of the Torah before it could pass away. He sent the living word, eternal, to become the incarnate word to fulfill that covenant and die, since it became incarnate, as the Colossian letter says, those writings of ordinances that could only condemn were nailed to that tree, for he made it incarnate and it died with him. Oh, what are we going to do? The Torah is dead. It's impossible. Yeah, God's a God of impossibility. He figured out how to remove that barrier, bore it himself. And that Torah is dead. I don't care how many preachers try to resurrect it. That Torah's dead. There's a new Torah of equal power, because it is the Word of God, the covenant of promise, a new Torah, faith Torah. And not only that, as the Hebrew makes clear, it's the Torah. As the Arabic makes clear, it's the Sharia. Thus, we are restricted in the translation of Nomu as we are in the English generic and multiple meaning word law. Only one law we're talking about, a God law. A God law of works, now a God law of faith. The German translation becomes important because it's the heart of the Reformation. I have it from a mid-1500 translation by those close to Luther who wanted to give the impetus that he put on it. So halten wir es nun. So halt we it now. Das der Mensch, that the people, gerecht, righteous, werde become only by means of des Gesetzes, werke, by means of the law of works. A line only to keep the parallel by means of durch den Glauben. With the intent to help, I was challenged by a friend who says, you wanted to help me. You know, remind me of, I think his spirit was right, and I'm going to respond to his help. The only problem is he didn't care enough to be here today. He was here last Sunday to hunt me down and tell me there's only one meaning for the word "oni" in German, and that's without, where he is today. Not by choice. I mean, I said, I appreciate your spirit of wanting to be helpful, and I don't want to permeate an error, but I'm going to have fun with this. He not here. So now I have to waste on you my reaction. But I want to show you the fun of languages. Yes, modern German dictionaries, without exception, will show "oni" to be without. Now, I have told you over and over, as I translate the Arabic, I'm translating classic and writing classical Arabic. Writing and translating classical Greek. Writing and translating, not modern Israeli Hebrew, classical Hebrew. One of the problems with the King James is it's not even classical, but it's mid or middle English. Even there, you'll have a passage that I often go to concerning Antichrist and what holds him back. He that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. To let, in modern English, is to allow. I did a PhD in philosophy at Stanford. And one of the most basic meanings of philosophy is the pursuit of meanings. You spend a lot of time on the history of language and words, and you learn that words come into being as a useful tool at a particular time, and you search the etymological meaning of the word to try to come close to its original meaning when first used. Then it matriculates, and at any given point in the history of people, a word has what's called a reportive meaning. A reportive meaning is what if you gathered 100 people in a given place, the majority would instantly say that's what the word means. And you have emotive meanings of words. That's what the debaters use. And in politics, you're always going to use words that affect the emotions. Mother, democracy, I have a plan. We work hard. Why, one of my Bible teaching heroes, J. Vernon McGee, will say, friends, May I say? Who's going to stop him? But it makes a good emotional impact. I'm his friend, and he's asking me permission to say what he's going to say, whether you're his friend or not. And I've told you repeatedly, I'm translating. In fact, I think I've humorously told you the fun I have with a friend of mine whose uncle used to be the president of Syria, that I share the Arabic scripture with a lot, and his modern translations many times are light years removed from the classical meaning of the words. Now, the problem's complicated because I'm going from Greek to English, and every English word I use has got a diversity of meanings as diverse as this crowd today. Now, I wouldn't just do this for the friend who helped me by telling me what any Cassell's dictionary tells me, that modern German, ohne, is without. So I just thought I would have some fun today, but it will also drive home a thought. The thought is the importance of what importance of what Luther did. And too bad he wasn't around to deal with Hitler. I want to quote you some things before I go further. The important spirit of this verse is that Luther added a word that was not in the Greek. So halt we it now, that the people righteous become by means of the law of works, only allein durch den Glauben, by means of faith. I quoted last Sunday, he mocked the papists who criticized him by saying, that's not in the Greek. He said, I don't need them to tell me, but neither do they understand the German language. If you don't add the word only, then there's high and low German, and Luther's translation created high German, as Tyndale, not Chaucer, created the English language. For every person that's read Chaucer, 10,000 read Tyndale. Without the word only, there is a suggestion, he said, and I don't need the papists to tell me, there is a suggestion, there is an exception somewhere. When the Greek clearly drives us to a single thought, no exception. That's why, he said, I added the word only. In his commentaries in the 1500s, he had other things to say. I need to point out to you, he did not like James. Didn't like James at all. Said it shouldn't even be in the Bible, and called it a right strawy little epistle with not one word of gospel in it. What he was confronting was James, and I will read from the Greek what James 2:24 says, ouk ek pisteos monon. That's just the second half of a phrase I'll translate into the English. You see, James said, that a human being is justified by deeds or works, and not ouk, by ek, faith, pisteos, monon, alone. James was the first to use this faith alone in combating Paul and said, show me your faith, I'll show you my works, and concluded in the verse I just read, we are justified by works, James said, not by faith alone. I get so tired of theologians trying to match these two when they can't be matched. Luther was right. Shouldn't even be in the Bible. Tip from the catalog, a message I preached on James the Jerk. It wasn't in the canon until the 4th and 5th century. Luther didn't believe that James, the so-called brother of Jesus, even wrote it. He never followed Jesus. The family was against Jesus until the resurrection. A Middle Eastern concept akin to that which produced the Shiites, that a blood relative that can be found should succeed a founder of religion, made them appoint him pastor in Jerusalem. And I listened to the tortuous arguments. Listen to this. James' position is usually understood. I'm reading Joseph Fitzmyer, the Catholic commentator. James' position, am I boring you?
No, sir.
Is usually understood as a refutation not of Paul's teachings, but of antinomian caricature of his teachings, which is, we're free to do what we want, that grace may abound. To which his own generic, sometimes unguarded formulation was eventually open. Paul was speaking of deeds of the law, Jewish deeds in observance of the Mosaic law. Yes, he was. The Torah, the Sharia, in the translation to the Arabic, a God-ordained law of works. Again, James was referring to deeds, quote, that flowed from faith, parenthesis, Christian deeds. And again, James uses a restricted and narrow sense of pist, seemingly to mean no more than the intellectual assent to monotheism. I wish I could say in this message what General Schwarzkopf gave me a substitute for, bovine eschatology, BS. I can read in Acts the original church council where James presided. He wasn't talking about Christian deeds. I can read in Galatians where James ends, sent people to spy on Paul and his Gentile convert in the latrine to see if they were circumcised, peeping Toms. I can read the fight of the council. James wanted Christ to be accepted as Messiah because of the resurrection, but you kept the Torah. These milquetoast attempts to make the absolute opposite somehow come together can't be done. James wanted Christianity to be a splinter on Judaism. Christ is the Messiah, but you still get in by keeping and doing the works of the Torah. He was wrong, and that's why Paul became so angry at Galatia that he spewed it out much fuller than this verse in Romans. There's only one way now, the way of faith. And Luther was so positive of this in his adding of the word only. And by the way, if you go back in the classic, you're going to find only spelled A-L-L-E-Y-N in one of his works and A-L-L-E-I-N-E in another one of his works, as the words change in German as well as the words change in English. But listen to Luther on this subject. What did Luther mean by only? In the Lutheran tradition, he enunciates it become the articulus stantis e cadentem ecclesia, translated from the Latin, the article by which the church stands or falls. Again, he says, in another place, der articulus stantis e cadentis ecclesia, ecclesia. Because if that article stands, only, sola fide, only faith. If that article stands, the church stands. If it fails, the church fails. And I showed you last Sunday, clear back to Origen and up to Thomas Aquinas. Luther did not originate the idea of only. They had to combat the Jacobians, the Monophysicists, the early heresies after the Chalcedonian Church Council. And Luther articulated it most fully, only by faith. Well, what's this got to do with only? Well, I could take you back if you want me to. To the Sanskrit. Without. Probably. Vina. Probably the source of only. But when you translate it to without, now we got another problem. Can I have some fun with you? To show you how tricky language is. The Bible of the English language is this 20-some volume Oxford English Dictionary. You say, why are you wasting my time for this? I don't care about this. Well, I do. And the one who seemed to be concerned is not here today. In this Oxford English Dictionary, you have the history of every English word. There's nothing to match it anywhere. Well, I thought, you know, this little funny word with, we assume it's a preposition, but it's also an adverb. And I went, look at how fine the print is here. Look at this. Now, this is volume 20. And I've gone through volume 20 to see, what does this word with mean? Well, we all know what with means, don't we? Every one of us knows. With means to be together. Isn't that correct? Yeah, with means to be together. Yeah, I take you to be with me. And you're all on my side. You're with me. Every fool knows that only means without, and with is together. It's like Latin cum. Well, let's see. With. The prevailing sense of this preposition in the earliest periods are those of opposition against. Huh? No. Together. No. Against. Oh, come on now. I gotta see that. What a too fine print. Come here and read, Melissa. You'll be on my side anyway, they're gonna say. What does this say right, the prevailing word. Where is the with? I just read it. The prevailing against. Here we are, A. First definition, A. Preposition, read it.
The prevailing...
Here, get a mic.
The prevailing sense...
Hey, come on, you guys.
The prevailing senses of this preposition in the earliest periods are those of opposition against...
Well, now, am I going to translate this? So halt we it now that the people righteous become against out the law of works. Don't jump to conclusions. Let's go. That's Roman numeral 1. Roman numeral 2. With. Right over here. Come read it.
Denoting personal relation, agreement, association,
connection,
union, addition.
Well, that's what I said, you're saying. Now that one's right, because that's what we all know with means. It's together with. Right? Well, let's close the book then. That settles the subject, doesn't it? No, it's page after page after page. You've got to go through all those ancient uses of it as against, and then you come 4 pages later to a third meaning. It began to claim the word in the 12th century. Come on. Roman numeral? Read it.
Denoting instrumentality, causation, or agency. This too. Indicating the means of instrument, material, or immaterial, of any kind of action, by means of, by the use of.
Huh. By means of. By the use of. Huh? Huh? Well, by means of out. I got you on out. Because it's without. It's either against out, it's together without, or it's by means of out. Are you still on the same page? Am I boring you? Well, let's look at out. Let's see what out says. Out. Out. Why don't I take the shorter one? Because I could have done it with this origin of words and not carried those tomes that broke the back of my staff just carrying it in here. See what this says about with. Ancestral meaning of with is against. Retained by its German relative, wider. Well, now, wider, that's the preposition contrary, against, in opposition to, counter, contra. That's the ancestral meaning of with. How did it get to together? It goes back ultimately to the Indo-European base, which denoted separation, and back to the Sanskrit, as I've said. The notion of accompaniment, togetherness, which was the second meaning, is a secondary development, even though ancient. And the idea of instrumentality did not emerge until the 12th century, and Luther's writing in the 16th. Instrumentality means why I have to work so hard to get at the heart of what's being said. Out. Well, let's take the shortcut because the clock's racing. Let's go to the shortcut one here that's based on. It's like a summation of that 20-some volume. Out. Out. Out is a widespread Germanic adverb. German aus. Dutch wheat. Swiss oot. Dänisch oot. They're all first cousins. As a relative on the foreside of the Indo-European language. Oot. Its former comparative form still survives in utter, which means complete. And utmost. If you go to utter, isn't this fun? I thought I understood the English language. Utter. That's not what you get milk out of on a cow. English has two distinct words, utter. They come from the same ultimate source, out. The older means complete, thoroughgoing. The later is outside or external. Now the German aus, I'm not even going to take the time to go to the German theological dictionary. which is more important than the average dictionaries that people go to. Theological language is different in every language. Modern theological German, I ain't going to go to it, I wrote it down. Out, from the German aus, as a preposition, out of, from, by, through, on, as an adverb, finished. Now, if you want to strictly break this down with without, it means by means of, finished, or complete, or completing or finishing the works of the law. Well, how could that word out mean finished? Let me show you how the fringes of our language use sort of gets lost and we have an instant reaction, which is why it's so tough to communicate and ident things in, because you're going to grab a word and give it your first thought meaning while you have that speed of your mind ahead of my speech, go somewhere else and mean by it something different. Out doesn't mean necessarily outside. Doesn't necessarily mean external. You ever hear the word, they fought it out?
Yes, sir.
You ever hear the word, we talked it out?
Yes, sir.
That means we completed it.
Yes, sir.
We finished it. So halt we it now that the people righteous become by means of finishing the works of the law. You okay with that? I'm a little hesitant. Are you okay with that?
Yes, sir!
I mean, I've led you by the hand. Is that an allowable withoutness?
Yes, sir!
I could trace Oni back through the roots. I've already told you all the way to the Sanskrit. Same thing. Words change over the centuries. And the rhythm of contrasting two separate means is why this ancient translation I used translated it contrasting by means of the law versus by means of faith and said only a line. By means of faith, do you make it in? Only by means of finishing the works of the law is awkward, but it's embraced in the historic roots of withoutness as well as oni. I could have used another word, and I can translate this whole German sentence differently. Let me show you. Halten is both an intransitive verb with no object, a transitive verb with an object, and a reflexive verb. And among the varied meanings of halten, let me just give you a few. It's as bad, just as bad as the English. That's why I like the Greek and its precision. Halten, transitive, to hold, to keep, to retain, to detain, to keep back, to constrain, to contain, to include, to observe, to perform, to celebrate, to endure, to hold out against, to think, to deem, to consider. Somebody said, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. No, Jesus did not speak German. He spoke Aramaic, the Syriac dialect of it, and Greek, as far as we know. But that means I can translate this. Let me go to the intransitive form. Because these are personal pronouns. There we, and that's it. So halten. I can't keep my glasses together, and I've lost some paper, but that's just a list of songs. Am I wearing you out? You ought to be walking up here with me. Thank you very much.
It's still over there.
The intransitive is to stop, to halt, to hold out, to stand firm, to insist on. In either way, we could say, so we insist on So we consider, which is the way the handout translated the Greek. It's going to change the frame instead of a command to shut up about this. So we insist on. So we think. So we consider. So we hold out for. So we it now hold out that the people righteous become without the works of the law, only by faith, with the common meaning of without. It doesn't have the impact that Luther intended to come out. He intended to shock. Stop saying it. Not a meek milquetoast. So we decide, so we consider, so we, how many others have we got? We celebrate. So we celebrate, so we constrain ourselves, so we contain ourselves. To include, we include it now that the people righteous become without the works of the law, only by means of faith. No, he wanted to hit you. Like he said, the church stands or falls on this. And that's why I took the archaic meaning, matching by means of and by means of, so halt we it now that the people can become righteous by means of finishing the works of the law, by working it out, like we talk it out, by even one of the, if I'd gone on in that third instrumentality definition in the Oxford Dictionary, it says it's being in modern English substituted by the word, or modern English, yes, substituted with the word by. But in Old English, with became the same. You say, you're not so shocked when I say they built the house. With bricks. Well, it carries with it bricks together, but it's by means of bricks. So try to understand the work that is going into digging out for you the truth of what Paul said through the clouds of many languages that distort through the years, and the English language that is so ambiguous in its meanings that every choice of a word carries the risk of what we've seen with the word without. I still stay with the old translator. Shut your mouth. Quit talking about it now. Stop we this moment talking that the people righteous become by working it out, the works of the law, by finishing the works of the law only by means of faith, the cornerstone of the Reformation, sola fide, no other way in now. Now, what's that got to do with the price of a cup of coffee in Los Angeles today? Well, I don't drink coffee now, so that's a bad illustration. What's it got to do with my cancer? What's it got to do with my problems today? What's it got to do with the pressures that you face? What's it got to do with the trials and the tribulations that you go out of here and get in your car and drive into the rest of the week? What's it got to do with the fact that even this week, I and you gave up under the pressure, if only momentarily? What's it got to do with the fact that we hear all these things about God is good? We can channel surf the Christian community. You're nothing but heroes talking about what God's done for them. and that Christianity is a life characterized, to quote the author, as a bowl of cherries, and I'm the pips. What's all this fancy grammar and translation stuff got to do with me? We conclude, a man to be righteous, thus candidate for heaven, which really is more important than here, I wrote as long ago as in the little book A Hole in Rome. The issue of Christianity is time versus eternity. Righteousness is the entrance pass to eternity. I ain't got any, but God gives me His only. Why this is important, only by means of faith. So all this other stuff that Christianity is talking about, great and grand leaps into super spirituality, great and grand revelations that make us something special, and other people bow at our feet, and I wish God would talk to me like that. Others, you know, I'm reminded of the song, Tempted and Tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. It's enough to hate God. It's enough to give up. Until you understand, God said there's only one sign, the resurrection. He gave that I'm sure of. And that everything else is God's effort to make feathers out of us. Because only feathers make it in. All that other stuff is worthless. With no connection to, the Arabic says, the works of the Sharia. I want everything now. And I believe He's promised, and it is His will to heal now in my case and yours. But if He doesn't, the only way I'm guaranteed the healing immortal is to go out faithing. So what faith note can I find on the end of this message? I think I've made the point with Luther. Only faith gets you the credentials, His righteousness, on and in us, that takes us home. And I want to go home in His time to the right place. And if I'm going to the right place, death ain't no big deal. And only faith gets me there. So what faith handle can I grab today? Very simple and very quickly. That can add to you and to me some new handhold as we climb this wall of faith. Matthew 12. Very simply. Don't intend to preach the whole message. I've preached it before. What's Matthew 12 say? Jesus gets rebuked because His disciples put corn on the Sabbath. He lets them know He's the Lord of the Sabbath and quotes the scripture to them and makes fools of them. There's a man with a withered hand. They don't have any doubt that Jesus can heal. They don't give a hoot or a holler about the man's withered hand and whether he's healed or not. They just want to see if Jesus is going to break the Torah and heal on the Sabbath. When Jesus sees that man with the withered hand, he says to him, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Thus saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. And then the Pharisees went out and held a council how they might destroy him." The world's full of Christians today would rather kill the preacher that preaches the grace of God and that face the only door than have the world healed by the grace of God and the door flung open to a way that we can make it home as possible. Faith. Faith that uses the word pit. I feel like that one sheep. I believe some of you feel like that one sheep. You can get in a stage with your faith. It's one thing to have that all-conquering faith, and it's that other state where you're just broken to the point you don't know if you can make it another hour. I got a word for you right here. Concerning what Jesus did, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench." The reed bruised almost to breaking. Smoking flax refers to the wick on the edge of the Hebrew lamp. Ain't got any fire in it anymore. Flames out. Not giving any real light out. It's just smoking. Almost gone. If faith takes me home, I will grab this verse. If broken to the point you feel ground to powder, grab hold of it today, and that faith will take you home. Like Karl Barth said, let this verse leap out and grab you as God talking to you today, whatever your broken condition. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Well, why do you let me get in this bruised state and the fire out, just smoking, to see if I'd hang on? And I will. What I want you to say. And I will. I'll dare grab that promise, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. That's my message. Walking time. I could point out, God said, through Christ, no one greater than Elijah. God really worked Elijah over. But it was only when he broke, ran away, and wanted to die. I mean, God sent him to heathen, Israel's king who had turned to heathen, to a brook that dried up, and to a widow that didn't have anything. But only in his broken, give-up state, bruised reed, smoking flax, did God send an angel to make a cake for him. I don't know who needs this message today. I know I did. I'm telling you, keep the faith. Faith in every circumstance is the only way you get home. Only by means of faith. And you're broken, bruised, smoking flax state, make it a springboard. I will grab that promise and I will go through it by faith. For me, a bruised reed shall he not break. I can make it. Smoking flax shall he not quench. I can make it. Only believe.